Today, data dependence equals volatility. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of those posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update. And of course, the central banks are now saying we're going to be data dependent, which means that as every piece of news comes in, be it good or bad, the markets get twitchy one way or the other, which leads to significant volatility. Now, some people will be able to make significant money off the back of that volatility. Others will sit on the sidelines shaking their heads saying, well, we don't know what's happening. So the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq Composite fell on Friday and posted their second straight weekly losses as hotter than expected US producer prices data pushed treasury yields higher and sank rate sensitive mega cap growth stocks. Being data dependent means markets will be highly volatile over the northern summer. Now, data on Thursday showed that the US consumer price index increased moderately in July, with the smallest annual increase in core inflation in the 2 years, lifting hopes that the Federal Reserve is at the end of its rate hike cycle. But San Francisco Fed Bank President and CEO Mary Daly said that more progress is needed before she would feel comfortable the Fed has done enough to rein in inflation. US producer prices picked up in July, primarily due to increases in certain services categories, highlighting the choppy nature of getting inflation back down to target. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the producer price index for final demand, as well as the core index, which excludes food and energy, both rose by 0.3% in July. While those came in slightly more than forecast, downward revisions to the prior month tempered some of the strength. Normalizing global supply chains, tepid demand abroad, and a broader shift in consumer spending towards services and away from goods have generally helped alleviate inflation pressures at the producer level over the past year. But headwinds are building again as oil prices climb. Services costs rose by the most in nearly a year, reflecting increases in categories including portfolio management, outpatient care, and passenger transportation. And several categories from the PPI report, notably in healthcare, are used to calculate the personal consumption expenditures price gauge, which the Federal Reserve uses its preferred inflation measure, and that'll be released later in the month. The underlying trends show that PPI inflation is reverting to its pre-pandemic run rate, though progress is likely to be slower in the second half of the year compared to the first half, Matthew Martin and Oren Karkin of Oxford Economics said in a note. While these data points will comfort Fed officials, policymakers will likely maintain a hawkish tone and keep a close eye on whether last month's jump in services prices persists in the months ahead, they said. Within healthcare, inflation in hospital outpatient care and nursing home care accelerated. Meanwhile, physician care costs a little changed. But brokerage services and investment advice, a category that also feeds into PCE, jumped significantly in July. Prices of goods rose slightly, boosted by the biggest increase in food costs since November. And core goods prices, excluding food and energy, were flat after a decline in June. And weaker goods prices in recent months have flowed through to consumers in the form of lower prices, which of course is deflation. We've seen some material data and news in recent days, but the market has chosen to trade sideways, which tells us that the market has priced in everything and has not been pleasantly or unpleasantly surprised, said Jason Betts of Ameriprise Financial. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.3% to 35,281. The S&P 500 lost 0.11% to 4,464, and the Nasdaq Composite dropped 0.56% to 13,644. As a result, the Dow Jones Industrial Average ended the week up 0.6%. That's the first time in 2023 that the Nasdaq fell for two straight weeks, and the S&P 500 ended the week down 0.3%, with the Nasdaq 1.9% lower. Yields on the 2-year US Treasury note that moves in line with near-term interest rate expectations climbed to 4.829%, and the 10-year landed at 4.166%, still in recession, signalling inversion territory. This move weighed on big tech names, as high interest rates could slow the economy and dent the ability of those firms to achieve the growth projections that have pushed them to premium valuations. Higher rates can also make interest-bearing bonds an attractive alternative to stocks for some risk-averse investors. Tesla, Meta Platforms, and Microsoft closed down between 0.6 and 1.3% on the day. A 3.6% fall in Nvidia weighed on the semiconductor index, which is now 2.3% lower. It was the fourth straight decline and its eighth loss in nine sessions for the semis index, and its 5% weekly decline was its worst performance since early April. Megacap growth and technology stocks have led outsized gains this year in the tech-heavy Nasdaq and the S&P 500, but after a five-month stretch of advances, August has so far marked a much more cautious approach from investors. Time will tell if we are correct on this, but with the run that tech has had, it's hard not to want to do a bit of profit-taking, said Betts. Among other movers, News Corp rose 4.6% after the Rupert Murdoch-owned media conglomerate beat quarterly profit estimates thanks to its cost-cutting efforts. And US-listed shares of Chinese companies Alibaba and JD fell 3.5% and 5.3% respectively, as Beijing's latest stimulus measures disappointed investors, while fresh data show that the country's post-pandemic recovery is losing steam. Amid the major S&P sectors, healthcare and energy sectors advanced. Both have been among the worst performing industries this year, although energy matched its strongest run this year by closing higher for the seventh straight session. The energy sector's 1.6% increase was aided by crude prices rising on forecasts of tightening supplies from the International Energy Agency. Occidental Petroleum was among the biggest gainers, up 3.3%, after one of its units secured a grant from the US government to support its carbon capture ambitions. And helped by forecasts for record world oil demand this month, coming no less from the closely followed International Energy Agency, crude prices finished with a seventh straight week of gains. That's the longest winning streak since June 2022. Yet the rally is slowing, and in the latest weekly US crude prices, they rose by 0.3% compared with the near 5% rise seen 2 weeks ago and during the second week of the rally. New York traded WTI settled up 0.27% to $83.08 for the day and the week, and it was the smallest weekly advance for WTI since the rally that began in the week of June 16th. Notwithstanding the slower pace of the rally, the US crude benchmark still hit a nine-month high of $84.89 on Thursday, and it's up about 20% over the last 2 months. London-based Brent crude also rose just a little. It settled at $86.59 a barrel, up 0.3% on the day and 0.5% higher on the week. Like WTI, the weekly gain for Brent was the smallest since the rally began 7 weeks ago. But in a similar trend to its US counterpart, the global benchmark touched a new milestone on Thursday, reaching a seven-month high of $88.10. In other 2 months, Brent has been up 18%. After a seven-week run-up, complacency was setting into the market, enough sometimes that you get a decent pullback, said Ed Moyer, analyst at online trading platform Onya. He, however, conceded that momentum was still adequate to deliver another week of gains, adding that energy traders remain overly confident the market will remain tight, and that doesn't seem like exhaustion is settling in yet. Friday's higher close came in after the Paris-based International Energy Agency estimated that global oil demand hit a record 103 million barrels per day in June and could scale another peak in August. Even so, the so-called IEA revised down its forecast for August demand to 150,000 barrels a day from July, and the global economic outlook remains challenging in the face of soaring interest rates and tighter bank credit, squeezing businesses that already having to cope with sluggish manufacturing and trade, the agency said. For 2024, the IEA forecast world demand for oil will slow to about 1 million barrels a day, citing lackluster macroeconomic conditions, a post-pandemic recovery running out of steam, and the burgeoning use of electric vehicles. With the post-pandemic rebound largely complete, and as multiple headwinds challenge the OECD's outlook, oil consumption gains slow markedly, the agency said. And gold prices on Friday had their worst week in seven, hurt by an overall stronger dollar and elevated bond yields as investors digested those US inflation numbers and awaited more economic data later. US gold futures edged down 0.16% to $1,945 an ounce. Bullion has stood about 1.2% this week as the US dollar index and benchmark 10-year Treasury bond yields are on track for their fourth consecutive weekly gain. Investors have been coming in at those low 1900 levels and they've been buyers, but equally when gold has strengthened, they've been sellers. That's helped to cap the range, said Philip Newman, Managing Director at Metal Focus. Investors are very focused on the expectation element of interest rates as opposed to where they actually are because of the Fed's consistent messaging about it's not about to lower rates and any rate drop has been pushed out into 2024, Newman added. Interest rate increases tend to lift bond yields and also raise the opportunity cost for holding non-yielding bullion. Silver slid 0.33% to $22.74 an ounce, and platinum added 0.8% to $916.10. Both were on track for their fourth straight weekly losses. Palladium, though, was up 2% to $1,302, eyeing its best week since mid-June. Over in Europe, European shares fell on Friday as concerns that global interest rates could stay elevated for longer took centre stage, while UBS shares jumped after the Swiss lender ended a state guarantee granted for the takeover of Credit Suisse. The pan-European stock 600 dropped 1.1%, with rate-sensitive technology and real estate stocks leading the decline down about 2.1%. The benchmark was flat on the week as upbeat earnings were countered by a rout in European banks earlier in the week following Italy's shock decision to hit banks with a windfall tax. All the main markets in the region fell, with the UK FTSE down 1.2% after data showed the economy eked out some unexpected growth in the second quarter, just fanned fears of more rate hikes from the Bank of England. And European bond yields continue to rise, adding to pressure on equities. While the Fed is expected to pause its aggressive tightening monetary cycle, investors are concerned about the likelihood of slowing global economic growth and the possibility of further rate rises from the European Central Bank. All major sectors were in the red, with basic resources down 1.7% for its biggest weekly decline in seven, as metal prices came under pressure after weak Chinese economic data fed into concerns about slowing demand in the world's top metals consumer. Among risers, Switzerland's biggest bank, UBS, added 4.7% after it said it won't need the government guarantee it secured to rescue failing rival Credit Suisse. German IT firm Bechtle was up 6.4% after reporting better-than-expected second-quarter results, and shares in luxury giants such as LVMH and Richemont, which had posted robust gains in the previous session, fell 1.7% and 2.8% respectively, further dragging on the benchmark index. Most Asian stocks sank on Friday too, with Chinese shares leading losses on persistent concerns over the property market, while data showed a rise in US inflation, which did little to improve sentiment. Fears of slowing growth in China continue to chip away at regional sentiment. Following a string of weak economic readings from the country this week, concerns over a property market meltdown also saw a resurgence this week amid a report that the country's biggest developers were struggling to meet their debt obligations. China's Shanghai Composite Index slid 1.2%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng slid 0.9%. Both indices were down more than 2% this week, as dismal trade and inflation data for July pointed to continued economic weakness in the country. Heavyweight property stocks were hit with a fresh wave of selling on Friday after Country Garden Holdings, one of the biggest real estate firms in the country, warned of a massive loss for the first half of 2023 due to a persistent downturn in the sector. The warning came after the company said it missed $2 bond payments, while media reports also suggested that the firm was seeking debt restructuring amid a worsening outlook. Country Garden's Hong Kong shares slumped nearly 12%, while peers China Hoka Group and Longfor Property Co. sank between 4 and 5%. Losses in property stocks largely offset optimism over stronger than expected results from Alibaba Group Holdings, which indicated that consumer sentiment remains resilient. Alibaba's Hong Kong shares rose 1.7%. Sentiment towards China was also hit by the White House imposing new curbs on tech investments in the country, which pushed up concerns over a resurgence in trade tensions between the world's two largest economies. Concerns over China soured sentiment towards broader Asian markets too. South Korea's KOSPI slid 0.4%, while the Taiwan weighted index eased slightly as well, along with the India Nifty 50, after an unexpected increase in reserve requirements spurred losses in bank stocks on Thursday. And by the way, Japanese markets were closed for a holiday. The Australian dollar posted a weekly loss on Friday after the Reserve Bank struck a slightly dovish tone before lawmakers, saying that monetary policy had shifted to a calibration phase as it assesses the lagged impact of aggressive rate hikes. I made a show on this yesterday. The share market fared slightly better, ending the week up 0.2% after a flurry of corporate earnings. The benchmark ASX 200 still fell on Friday by 0.24% to 7,340 at the closing bell. The All Ords also shed 0.2%. The local currency rose 0.2% to 65.27 US late on Friday, but fell 0.7% on the week. That's the fourth decline in a row. It dropped below 65 cents on Tuesday, the first time since early June. And it seesawed on Thursday after US inflation data for July came in slightly lower than expected, fueling expectations the US Federal Reserve would leave interest rates unchanged next month. In Australia, bond futures imply a 54% chance the RBA will raise the cash rate this year to 4.35% and only a 10% chance of a move next month. But the two-year was up 1.05% to 3.93, while the 10-year was at 4.171. Su Lin Ong, chief economist at RBC Capital Markets for Australia, said that Governor Phil Lowe had a modest dovish tone in his testimony before Parliament, meaning he would maybe be less inclined to raise rates. We still think it's prudent to leave a final hike in our profile, possibly the fourth quarter, given the risks and global dynamics. But we note the importance of the global policy backdrop as well, as Ong said. On the share market, the energy sector fell 1.9% on Friday, snapping a four-day rally, buoyed by the price of crude that is trading near a nine-month high, and higher gas prices in Europe. Woodside Petroleum lost 2% to $38.22, and Whitehaven Coal dropped 3% to $7.23. In company news, Star Entertainment rose 18% to $1.15 after the New South Wales government said that it would overhaul changes to casino taxes to prevent the company's Sydney casino turning into an unviable operation. The plan includes introducing a transitional levy for the next 7 years. Nick Scully surged 13.3% to $12.12 after the retailer reported a 34.9% jump in full-year net profits to $101 million, ahead of market expectations. Underlying net profit climbed 4.6%, and Chief Executive Anthony Scali said he was still bracing for a tougher year ahead. Other retailers all fared pretty well, with JB Hi-Fi up 2.5% to $47.21 ahead of its earnings next week, and Harvey Norman added 3.2% to $3.87. And Lake Resources slid 7.1% to 19.5 cents, reversing some of the previous session's 27% surge. The stock, which has 7.6% of its shares controlled by short sellers, rallied on Thursday ahead of an update it was due to give on its catchy project. And meanwhile, in crypto land, Bitcoin meandered up to 30,000 US during the week before settling back into range at 29,420, and frankly, little chance of it moving much beyond that anytime soon. So if you stand back, here's the problem. We are now being ultra data dependent, so every bit of data that comes in is being pounced on and analyzed to pieces. And of course, that means that markets go up, markets go down, markets go sideways. It's a very uncertain time, and this uncertainty will continue for some months, probably until we get to the Fed in September and to the RBA's decisions later down the track as well. The truth is that this data dependency is creating a series of events which makes it very hard to make any sense of the market. And that means that many will be on holiday, of course, in the Northern Hemisphere. Others will be sitting on the sidelines. Some will be trading, but the chances of making a good decision is quite limited at the moment because every bit of data could come in differently. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.